Happy holidays, everyone. Welcome to a special holiday edition of The Throwback. It's me, as always, Ryan the Podman.
Ho, 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 everybody. And me, Jimmy the Radio Man. Happy holidays, everybody.
Jimmy, what's with the look?
Oh, Daddy, you can't tell. I'm Santa Claus.
Really? Where's your beard and hat? Last time I checked, Santa Claus didn't wear a Miami Dolphins cap and whiteout painted all over his face.
Oh, I have to send my Santa beard to the cleaners. I got SpaghettiOs stained on them, Daddy, the other day, and my Santa hat, well, let's just say our pet bugle got a hold of it, and that's a stocking stuff of a Christmas gift.
Oh, that would definitely explain it.
Hey, this eggnog tastes a little flat, son. It kind of tastes like dirty wedges.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Jimmy's uncle from New York is still here. But don't worry, we have a great show for everyone today. We have Jenny Kwan, who plays Samantha Wu on the hit NBC show California Dreams, on to talk about her career and some of her favorite moments from the hit TV show.
Wait, what's with this Christmas? Dear God, I don't like it. It upsets my stomach. Worst thing, dirty wedges.
Sir, where's your Christmas spirits? It's the holidays. Here, try this gingerbread cookie.
Let me try it. Not bad, son. Very good. I like it. Very gingery. It almost tastes like a type of dessert.
Well, sir, cookies are kind of considered a dessert.
Oh, well, very well then, son. Here, I brought you a Christmas gift.
Oh, really? Thank you, sir.
Open it, pretty please. Open the gift, son. Come on, open it.
I think I should just wait till Christmas.
Ryan, just open it, Daddy. My uncle seems very anxious for you to open it.
Oh, okay, if you insist. You know, I love getting Christmas gifts. You know, I always... Wait, is this what I think it is?
It's an original top-of-the-line Tamagotchi, son. You gotta catch them all. Look, I even named them for you.
Wow, I didn't even know they made these anymore. Wait. You named my Tamagotchi Greg?
Yes, a good, wholesome American name. Who doesn't like the name Greg?
Yeah, thank you for the gift, son. Hey... Is that a knock at the door?
Yeah, Daddy, we got one more guest.
Who else is supposed to come? I thought we weren't expecting anyone else.
Hello, I've arrived. Time to get this party started.
Okay, whoa. Who are you?
Relax, this is my son, Walter. I invited him to the Christmas shenanigans.
Well, I guess that's okay. Nice to meet you, Walter.
Yeah, shake my hand. Hook, line, and sinker. Ooh, before I forget, I've also brought my little son with me. Come on in, little man. Not the mama!
Hi, Uncle Ryan! Oh my God, you?
Oh yeah, no. I forgot to tell you, Ryan. My cousin Walter's the father to my baby cousins that you helped babysit earlier this year. Wanted to keep it a surprise for Christmas. My little cousin just loves spending time with you. I wanted to see you.
Oh boy, this is going to be a very long night, folks. Anyways, if you like what you hear today, be sure to check us out on Twitter, @ThrowPodcast, THROW Podcast, as well as Spotify, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Now here's our exclusive interview with California Dream star Jenny Kwan.
Ow!
Who hit me in the head with a Christmas ornament?
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a Throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is best known for playing the character Samantha Wu on the popular hit NBC TV show California Dreams. I am pleased to welcome Jenny Kwan. Jenny, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ryan. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
So here's my first question. What made you want to get into the entertainment business?
Well, what's funny is I started... singing when I was really young. I was 11 years old, and I was part of a singing performing troupe called Kids of the Century, and we would travel around Southern California doing performances, and I traveled to New York to do a performance for the Statue of Liberty, and on the way home, basically I was scouted by an agent on the plane traveling home.
Oh, cool.
So it's funny because my mom actually was the one who got me into performing because I was extremely shy growing up, but she wanted me to learn how to sing. And
yeah.
So I would do these showcases, and then that led to being part of this kids group. And Yeah, and so the agent asked me, "Hey, Jenny, do you want to try acting?" And I kind of shrugged my shoulders. This is a strange story because people think, "Oh, you must have really been into it when you were a kid." I was, but I didn't think it would really turn into anything. But so yeah, so when I got home, I got into some acting classes and I really fell in love with the craft of acting, and that's basically how I started.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. So what were some of your favorite TV shows? Like, what were some of your favorite shows?
Oh, this is going to date me. this is going to date me, but I mean, still to this day, you know, Three's Company.
Oh, Three's Company. Yeah, John Ritter.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites, just because of, you know, I loved John Ritter and how physical he was, you know, with his comedy. And I also liked, you know, the kid shows in the 80s when I was growing up. And,
yeah.
The different cartoons and but I really liked comedy.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Did you ever watch an episode of California Dreams before you became a original cast member? Because if I was missing, weren't you? Did you join on season two?
I did, but the way that happened was originally when I had auditioned for Dreams, the what's called the breakdown or the descriptions of the shows that are going to be put together. They wanted a character that was the all-American California girl. And
right.
So I'm born and raised in California, in Los Angeles. I'm a Angeleno. And basically, I grew up here at the beach every weekend as a kid, and then as an adult, as many times as I could get to the beach. So basically, my agent sent me out because they're like, well, they're not specifying, you know, any ethnicity or what have you.
Right.
You're this person on audition for this. And so what happened was, you know, we went through a series of auditions, nine to be exact.
Because nine, wow.
Half of them were for the acting portion and half were for music. And you know, they wanted us to be able to sing. So half of the auditions were in the studio.
Right.
And so then what kept happening was I kept getting callbacks. And then at the end, what they do is they do what's called a network audition or a chemistry read, you know, that's what they call it these days. But and at the network call, it's where all the execs of the network come to approve or not to approve,
right,
you know, who they're cast. And at the end of that network call, it was me, Kelly,
yeah,
Packard, who was on the show, and then actually another friend of ours who I am still close with to this day, and we all were going for the part of Tiffany. All of us born and raised in California,
right.
All of us looking so completely different.
Yeah.
And it was the three of us at the end. And so Kelly got it, and it was amazing. She, you know, obviously is, you know, Tiffany Smith. But what happened was, yeah, I probably watched the show a couple times until I got, you know, the phone call when I was doing Miss Saigon, and I got this call, and the producer, Peter Engel, just said, "Hey, Jenny, do you want to come home and do a show?" And I was like, "Okay," you know, and basically that's how it happened.
Oh, wow.
It was very surreal.
So for your audition, how long was the whole process all together before you actually landed you actually got this part?
Well, if I remember correctly, it was a few weeks. Because, like I said,
yeah,
they kept calling us back to read, you know, the different scripts that they were doing rewrites on, and then we were in the studio literally four times.
Wow.
So that was over a matter of, I mean, I want to say the casting probably lasted a month or so, just because, you know, they would keep calling us back.
Yeah.
And then again at the end, I didn't get Tiffany Smith, but you know, you just show up and you do the best you can and you hope you make an impression, and I guess,
yeah,
that's what happened for me.
Yeah, yeah. So did you have any input into your character creatively once you like get the main parts? Like, Did you have any say of how she like dressed or any of the stuff she said in the script, or you just did whatever they said?
You know, what's interesting is because they basically wrote that part for me to come onto the show, because I think they had remembered me from before and
right.
trying to figure out how to introduce a new character and, you know, sign off on some other characters that were transitioning out of the show. So they had already had an idea of who this girl would be. And so that was pretty much established. But
yeah.
then when I came to do the show, and they would see what would work as far as how I interpreted the character or how, you know, I brought her to life, that would just be adjusted according to how I, you know, fit into her or she fit into me.
Right.
And how I just, you know, brought her out.
Right.
So in a sense, yes and no.
So were there any similarities between you and the Samantha character?
I mean, sure. For example, once I get talking, I can talk a lot. And, you know, at the time, I was definitely boy crazy for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and she's a musical girl and somewhat passionate about what she did and who she was. And sure, I could relate to those things. And
yeah.
for me, when I'm acting, I really try to find some sort of something I can relate to each character, whether they be, you know, whoever this character is, whether I agree with them or not, you know, but
yeah.
I try and find some relation, you know, to who they are as a person.
Right. So when you got as an original cast, how was it like working with the rest of the cast once you got on the show? Was it harder coming on as a newer cast member, or was it just like an easy transition?
You know, it's always kind of a funny entrance, right, when you're replacing someone. I've had different jobs where I've had to do that. And
right.
it is a funny transition, because what happens is, if you're lucky, you know, whoever, you know, you've been thrown into the pit with, you know, to have this wonderful chemistry, because that's partially why you get hired for certain things, right?
Yeah.
You've already, you know, the group has already established their own way that they are together. And so then if people are leaving, and for example, in my case, I was coming into something that was already, you know, starting to become a well-oiled machine, you know, maybe not all the way, but already on its way, you know, you're coming in and you're interrupting whatever is working already. So, you know, everybody was super kind and super sweet, but you know, it is a transition until you really get to know one another. And once we kind of got over that hump, because we started getting into this momentum, you know, everything just fell into place. And to this day, I am still, you know, I mean, Kelly, Michael, William, they're always going to be my family for the rest of my life. That, I mean, and we're lucky, because you don't always get that.
You don't see that all the time in TV. Sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't really see that. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they drift apart, but yeah, that's pretty cool when you're able to do that long after a show's been done.
We're very lucky in that sense. You know, we have grown up together, and everybody has their lives, and we all are super extremely busy, but I just saw them just somewhat recently, and it's just funny how things just fall into place. You know, if I needed something, or if they need something, they, you know, we're just there. And that, if anything, is just a huge gift from being able to do the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best.
Yeah, it really is. You know, California Dreams is often a lot of the times compared to Saved by the Bell. I guess because at the time it was, I could see the similarities. I guess because it was part of the TNBC lineup, and there was like, it came on like a, I think a similar time block. How do you feel about the comparison to Saved by the Bell?
You know, without Saved by the Bell, there would be no California Dreams. So first of all, and we have the same producer. And so, so it really wasn't a spinoff, but it was in the vein of, like you're saying, the TNBC shows. You know, Saved by the Bell, obviously hugely successful, and still to this day, you know, they have the Max, you know, that, that was created, and which is so cool. And but yes, without Saved by the Bell, who knows if there would have been California Dreams. But yeah, sometimes it would be, you know, interesting to be compared. But I think throughout our journey, as far as like our episodes and stuff, once we started getting into the rhythm of what our show was, it just stood alone on its own, you know, because we had music, you know, and the topics that we put out there into the world, you know, for example, in my case, I was in an interracial relationship, and both of us were, you know.
Yeah.
So that was actually a big deal. And so I think once we got, again, once we got into our own rhythm, it was just our show, you know.
That's cool.
Even though we're in the same time box.
Yes. Do you ever feel that California Dreams, like, was a little underrated to a little small extent, like having to deal with being on Saved by the Bell shadow a little bit? Do you feel, or no?
Not really. I mean, again, just because, as I was saying earlier, that I think once they saw our chemistry and what we had to bring to the table, you know, they were able to kind of write according to our cast as our own.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's cool.
Whatever we were bringing out, that I would think was inspiring the writers, you know, which I think I saw out the different seasons.
Yeah. That's true.
And we had an element of music.
Yeah.
So, that was a big focus of the show.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, what was your favorite episode from the whole, like, the episodes that you've done? Do you have a particular favorite episode that you did or scene you were a part of on the series?
I do. You know, I have a lot of different. Now, we did kind of a Western theme.
Oh yeah.
Episode High Plains Dreamer in. Mm-hmm. It was my first season, and that was really fun. Anytime we got to dress up, I loved that. You know, we would do silly things, but anytime we got to dress up, that would be really fun.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
And yeah. But I do remember High Plains Dreamer. That was a really cool episode. I mean, there are a lot of, I'm so bad. I never remember the titles of the episodes. I'm sure other people would, but I think mostly what I remember about, you know, the different episodes we did, because we did, I believe, 75 episodes. But the main thing that I remember is when we were on set and filming, I mean, we would really just have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember the most.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, one of my favorite episodes that I did was Babe Watch, you know, like that was a funny episode for Sam. And yeah, and then we had a serious episode actually with Tony's character, William James Jones, having to do with gang violence. And I remember Kelly and I had to dress up in yeah, we had, you know, to kind of make light of it, to be able to bring it into that genre of that style of show, you know, tried to bring some serious subjects, but with lightness too.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause it still was comedy and it still was for young people and it still had to fit into the time slot of what we were doing. So yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Really those. Yeah.
So, when the show ended, were you able to keep any cool, like, memorabilia or anything from the set?
We were able to keep some clothes, and I actually have a menu that I have from Sharky's, so I was able to keep that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, because they use the props and the sets, you know, for other shows, or they may have to keep it for NBC. And but yeah, I was able. I have a menu.
The cool thing about California Dreams to me is the theme song. That had like one of the like best theme songs to like a teen show back in the back in that time.
Yeah.
Do you remember the theme?
Yeah, of course. You know, people sing it to me. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And usually I won't sing it because people will be singing it to me. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
That's Who sung that song, by the way? Do you know who sung that the theme to that?
Who sung the theme song?
Yeah.
All of us did.
Oh,
except for Michael Cade's character. So, in the first season, it was Heidi Lenhart who played Jenny Garrison, and Brentley Gore who played Matt Garrison.
Yes.
Kelly, and then Kelly Packard who played Tiffany Smith.
Yeah.
Tony who played William who played Tony. And then when I came on, then they put my voice on top so I could be part of the theme song. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you've done other work besides California Dreams. You've been on like episodes. I think you were on a couple episodes of Family Matters.
I was on an episode of Family Matters.
Yeah.
Yes, and then I did an episode of The Nanny. And more recently, I've done, I can't even think now my resume. I did an episode of, Frankie and Johnny. Is that right? Grace and Frankie. Oops.
Oh, Grace and Frankie. Yeah. Oh, Netflix. Yeah.
Frankie. Whoop. I'm thinking of the movie. Sorry. And New Girl. And yeah. So it's been really fun. That's been really great.
That's awesome. So.
Yeah.
So
still doing a lot.
Yeah. You still have some other stuff coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing a lot of voiceover work. I do a lot of video games, and I played a character named Suki on Avatar: The Last Airbender.
On
Nickelodeon. Yeah, but a lot of video games that I wish I could say what they are, but I am signed to life until those games come out, and doing different episodes of different cartoons and. So that is another one of my passions that I do.
So going to the video game voiceover stuff, how is that compared to being on an actual like a TV show? Like if you're doing like a video game, like how long does it usually take for you to like complete the project for doing something like that?
Well, it depends on how big of a character you have on the game. But even if you do have a big part as a character, they block out a really long period of time.
Yeah.
So, for example, they may block out 4 hours or they may block out 5 hours, depending on the, you know, how much your character has to do. But for me, I'm pretty fast when I work.
Yeah.
So I can get through, gosh, 1,000 lines maybe in like a couple hours, you know? Just depending, you know, and
right.
If you have a really great director who just kind of guides you through, you can really muscle through it. But again, you have to really be well versed in knowing what you're doing, because a lot of the times for video games, since they're so tight lipped, you don't know anything about the game. Sometimes they don't tell you the title if it's a huge game. You show up, you don't see the script. You see the script as you're acting on it, and maybe at most you have 2 or 3 takes to do each line. Wow. So you really, for a lot of people, they think, oh, someone has told me that I have a great voice. And I'm like, that's great. Get some training, you know, because once you get in the studio, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you got to be on point right away.
You have to be on point, on the spot.
Wow.
On the spot. And so... Yeah, what's different about video games or animation or cartoons or what have you, because you're not seen, you have to really, your voice, your interpretation of the characters, you have to make sure you're really connected to that, because that's what's going to bring the character off the paper.
That's true.
Instead of you just reading it, because you have that one less sense of sight. You are, you know, drawn onto the screen.
Do you ever play the video games you're in? Are you a video gamer? Do you ever actually try out?
It's funny. I'm not a huge gamer, but the games that I have been a part of, after the fact, I'll go back. You know, have someone guide me through. I'm like, wait, how do you do that? What is this? This is like a battle now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what I was... Okay, great. You know, sometimes I do know... sometimes I do know the video games that I've been a part of, because they're just blasted everywhere, you know? And that's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, yeah. So, yeah, do a lot of people still stop you on the street or recognize you when you're out about on your, like, daily grind from the TV show?
You know, it's so funny. Yes. I mean, maybe not as much as before when it was airing, but... It's very interesting, yes, still to this day. And especially, Kelly likes to tell the story, but especially if we're together. So, for example, if Kelly and I are together, they're like, oh, oh, you know, it's like a double take. And then if we get together with our friend Michael, you know, we're able to, you know, get our schedules in alignment, you know. If they see all three of us together, it's just people go crazy. But it's funny because I... just recently went to set with one of my other best girlfriends who was doing an episode. And I just went to go support her. And it was the funniest reaction. You know, when you're in Hollywood, you know, people are just doing their thing. And especially when they're on the set, you know, people you know, they're very involved in what they're shooting. But I went to go visit her on the set, and it was the strangest thing that people were like, oh my gosh, are you so-and-so? And I was thinking, oh my gosh, is this happening on the set of the show that's pretty popular? It was a very, very interesting experience.
That's cool. You know, you hear about all these other TV shows out here getting revivals and reboots over the past couple of years. What do you think? You think a California Dream reboots, whatever happens?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I wish I could tell you more about it in the moment, but maybe, you know, we might have some fun news. I don't know if it's a reboot, but we might have some fun news coming up here, you know, in a couple months.
Oh, do you? Oh, well, we look forward to hearing. Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, I hope that we can, you know, have this fun thing that we're doing come to life here. So hopefully we'll have some fun news for everybody.
That's cool. I think before we talk, you said you teach classes, right?
I do. So one of the other things that I am really involved with is I have my own private coaching business, and I coach singers either to help them develop their voice, or if they're already professional, I help them, you know, just keep their voices in great shape and help them with auditions. And yeah, so I've been a private vocal coach for many years now, and the way that I started that was I just am the type of person who loves to work, and so when we would be on hiatus from the show, I wanted something that I could do for myself, and I started teaching from my past vocal coach. And in the interim of when we had downtime, I would have clients, and that's how I built my business. And so, yeah, I still have that business today, and it's great because I'm able to give back what I've been given. And it's to really see when someone just is, they do something that they thought that they could never do before. Mm-hmm. That point is so amazing, you know, to help someone get to a point where they thought, I just thought I could never do that.
Wow.
And just to see the joy and the confidence that they build. You know, not all of my singers are in the business. Some people come for different reasons. Wow. But I treat everybody the same, you know. I want them to reach their best potential possible. So, that's a really cool gift.
Yeah, that must be an awesome feeling to be able to do something like that. But yeah, Jenny, you know, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Are there any final words you have for your fans before we sign this off?
I just think without people who really liked California Dreams, it would just never have been a success. And even to this day, I'm so appreciative. You know, we were kind of considered the black sheep of the different shows.
Yeah.
And still to this day, how people come up to me and, you know, they tell me how the show has affected their lives, and it really touches me. You know, I don't know if I really was able to take that in at the time completely, but the fact that it's lasted for so many years and so many people still love the show, it's just been so gratifying. And and if people want to just find out what's going on, they can follow me on my Instagram. I'm on Facebook too, but my Instagram, I love pictures, and I try and tell, you know, stories along with the pictures, even though maybe sometimes like, oh my gosh, why does Jenny write so much? But I just have stuff to say with my pictures. I like it. So they can follow me at Jenny_Kwan on Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, that's
for
cool.
More info.
More of you. Yeah, just follow her on Instagram at, what's your Twitter, Instagram name? Is it just your name?
Jenny, yeah, JENNIE_KWAN. And then I have Facebook as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure people will find you. But yeah, this has been a blast. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ryan, so much.
Thanks. All right. Take care.
You too. Thanks, Bye. Ryan.
I would like to take this time to thank Jenny Kwan for taking time to come on the show to talk to us. California Dreams was such a great show. It was a show similar to Saved by the Bell that really could be relatable to a lot of kids. It's really great to see things Jenny Kwan has been up to, and we look forward to hearing from her in the near future.
Hey, so this host of this show my cousin Jimmy keeps talking about.
Yes, I am the host of the show.
So what exactly do they call you?
Just Ryan the Podman.
Wait, Podman? Podman? Haha, what are you? Some kind of alien? Haha, you space it, Podman? Haha, what's the matter? Come back here. I'm not making fun of you. Hey, Dad, his last name is Podman.
Son, are you really called the Podman? You could get into really some serious trouble for that.
Not the Santa! Not the Santa! Not the Santa!
What's going on in here? Why are you hitting your cousin Jimmy with a frying pan?
Cousin Jimmy didn't bring me a Christmas gift!
I didn't forget! I didn't bring it with me! Oh, my head, Daddy! I need some of that Advil!
What about you, Uncle Ryan?
I have it upstairs. Here, have a gingerbread cookie. Just eat it in the living room for now. Anyways, folks, on our next edition of the Throwback, our special guest will be former host of the popular TBS show Dinner and a Movie and comedian Paul Gilmartin. He will be on our show to talk about his time hosting the popular Dinner and a Movie show and his time as a comedian. Anyways, folks, we all hope you have a safe and happy holiday season and a happy new year.
I agree. I can drink to that. I need some more eggnog. Well, first, I need my annual holiday cigar. Wait a minute. I don't seem to have placed my lighter.
You misplaced your lighter?
Yeah. Hey! I'm smelling something smoky. Hey, is that you, Podman? Is that your spaceship malfunctioning?
No, that's not my spaceship. But you guys are right. I smell something burning. Wait, hey, Jimmy, your little cousin on top of the Christmas tree with a lighter.
Hey, that's my lighter, by the way.
What's this? Not the Santa.
Watch out, Daddy. He gonna set that Christmas tree on fire.
Hey, you get down from there. Hey, get him. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.